When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
If you're a firearms enthusiast like I am, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. This is a veteran-owned and operated gun manufacturer, Bear Creek Arsenal, that is, based in Sanford, North Carolina. They make high-quality firearms at an incredible value. Learn more about Bear Creek Arsenal at BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order. One more time, BearCreekArsenal.com/buck and promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Wednesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Want to give you a heads up, by the way. We're going to be joined by Bridge Colby to talk the latest in Ukraine at the bottom of this hour. Final hour of the program, that is next hour, we'll be joined by Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin to talk a variety of different issues that are continuing to be afoot in this country. But I want to start off right now with the latest numbers from what has turned into one of the tightest races that we will probably see throughout primary season, and one of the tightest races you can see, period, when it comes to elections, and that is the Republican Senate primary. We had all three of the top contenders, Dr. Oz, Dave McCormick, and Kathy Barnett, on with us yesterday to make their closing arguments to you. But when you actually look at these numbers, Kathy Barnett, really impressive, nearly 25% of the vote. But Dr. Oz right now, and live math is always a challenge for me on the radio, but I believe there's right at 2,400 votes. Dr. Oz is in front at 31.3% of the overall vote. Dave McCormick in second place at 31.1% of the vote. There will be a recount. There are still, it appears, tens of thousands potentially of ballots outstanding, but those two candidates are now separated by as little, it appears, as 2,400 votes, 0.2% of the election. And Buck, you said to start the show that you had heard it may end up coming down to potentially a differential of 100 or less votes before all is said and done.
That's what some are projecting, just based on the way that the mail-in ballots, the remaining precincts, the hand count, which is, it's a reminder, you know, Clay, we had, as you said, all three of the top three, the only three that had any real chance of winning yesterday. We had them on to make their final arguments. And we said, you know, we've got robust audience in the state of Pennsylvania, that just the listeners to this show, if going one way or the other, could be the difference. I mean, honestly, the listeners of this show in the aggregate could be a whole lot more than just the difference.
No doubt.
In just that state of Pennsylvania I'm talking about. You know, there's we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of folks. And it just goes to show you, this is why we wanted people to be able to hear. And we weren't putting our thumbs on the scale either way, because it was going to be a fight to the finish. And this is now a photo finish. And they're going to have to take this one up to the refs in the booth, or I don't know, you know what they do, wherever they go in the racing place.
Yeah, and by the way, update on the earlier story. I don't know that Nina Jankowicz, the Ministry of Truth, the Soviet Mary Poppins, as you have nicknamed her incredibly
well. We can just
call
her that. We're good.
She has officially resigned as the Department of Truth, as the disinformation czar that had existed for the Biden administration. So that has not even lasted as long as CNN Plus. So that is a positive news. Again, we're continuing to stack dubs here. But, Buck, I wanted to hit you with this because I tweeted this out last night, and then you also saw it, and we were texting about it this morning. And so COVID's not going away. And let me give you an example. I was looking at the Drudge Report this morning, and they have kind of the tally, last year's COVID numbers, this year's COVID numbers. And we know a lot of people are testing at home. A lot of people are not even getting tested. But right now there are four times as many COVID cases in the United States on May the 17th or whatever day they were counting there as there were last year. And remember last year at this time, Buck, the idea was, hey, COVID's over. Everybody go get your COVID shot. You'll never get it. You'll never spread it. This is the end of COVID. It's never going to be an issue anymore. Well, this is what's becoming intriguing. And I want to share the data, and I want to get what your hypothesis could be on this data. Again, the data is real. A lot of people are not talking about this yet. But if you look, and this is from Tyler Carditis, who put this together. He's the CEO of Blaze Media, according to his bio.
Yeah, I know Tyler. I used to work at the Blaze.
So you can vouch for Tyler being a good dude.
Yes, sir.
So what he tweeted out was, the top three states for vaccination coverage are also right now the top three states for infections. Eight of the top 10 states for the COVID vaccine are in the top 10 for infections. Seven of the top 10 for vaccinations are in the top 10 for hospitalizations. And then he says, it's a bit odd. And it is a bit odd. So we were told for a year now, get your COVID shot and you're going to be fine. Now we talked about yesterday, Buck, the data is starting to reflect that even if you got the double COVID shots, you might still die with COVID. This is getting difficult to explain how all of the most vaccinated places are now starting to set hospitalization records in the country and how they are setting case records as well.
New cases.
What do you think's going on here?
New cases topping an average, daily average of 100,000
yep.
in the country right now, up 61%. Which is, by the way, also when you look at the data, reflecting a particular hot spot of New York and New York City. More
and in fact,
here.
They're talking about bringing back restrictions to New York City because we've been texting about that because you obviously do the show along with many other people on the Clay and Buck program from inside of Manhattan. And I'm wondering, I'm supposed to be up there next month, whether I'm even going to be able to come before all is said and done.
I mean, 20 coronavirus hospitalizations are over 20,000 nationwide. That's according to CDC data. I do have to wonder at what point people are going to start to realize that the whole notion of the science and we know what to do and we know how to stop this and... When are we going to have people finally recognize that it was essentially an abject failure? I'll put it this way. We have flu season year in and year out. As you know, the flu shot tends to be somewhere in like the 40 to 60% efficacy range.
Yep.
Depending on the year, right? Because it's different flu strain every year. What we see is the fast mutation of COVID, the same way there's annual and rapid mutation of influenza viruses. COVID is a fast mutating virus too. So it's different from measles. We kept talking about this because remember, they shouted at everybody, what about your kid getting the measles shots or measles, mumps, rubella? Well, that's a one time and it works really well. It's not a every 6 months
works,
or every
period.
3 months
yeah.
for the
yeah.
rest of your life shot, okay?
Yes.
So that was a horrifically stupid comparison that the media used to just club everybody into silence and submission. We know that the approach we have to the flu is seniors who are at greater risk and also people with compromised immune systems, et cetera, are recommended to get the flu shot. And it's not a guarantee you're not going to get really sick and or die from flu, but it tends to be helpful depending on the year. That's all, actually. What we've seen is that should have been the approach to COVID. I mean, you know, put aside the first few months when everybody was panicking. By the summer of 2020, we should have realized we treat this like the flu. Meaning, you get shots, older people, get the resources, get them help, people who are at high risk. But all the rest of this, stop this. Clay, the program we were put through was stop the spread.
Yep.
That became a phrase that people, we didn't stop the spread at all. I mean, anyone who thinks that's out of their minds. I've had COVID twice. I'm probably going to get it a third time.
Here's what I thought was interesting, Buck. Yesterday, I'm reading the New York Times. I read the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, still get the print thing because I'm an old man. Front page story, New York Times yesterday. COVID's never going away, and everybody's going to be getting it multiple times.
Yes.
That's the story, right? On the front page of New York Times. If you said that last year, you got barred from Twitter, as our friend Alex Berenson did. And now, I think there is a strong argument to be made. Again, this is what science does. You look at the data and you try to construct hypotheses for what's going on, that people who are getting the COVID shot are more likely to get COVID. That's what the data is showing us. Now, maybe it's spreading more in the Northeast and the Midwest right now, and it's a geographic thing. But the places that are the most vaccinated are posting the highest rates of hospitalization and the highest rates of cases. There are other theories, other hypotheses you could toss out there. You could say, hey, people are more fearful in the Northeast of COVID, so they test more, so there's more knowledge of positive tests. The hospitalization data would cut against that. You could say right now it's geographic in nature, that COVID tends to be in the Midwest and the Northeast more so this time of year. We'll see if it surges again in the South as it gets hot and everybody moves inside, which has been one of the trend lines that we have seen. Florida, for instance, in June and July tends to go up and then decline as the temperature declines all over the South. But I think there are arguments to be made now, and I think intelligent media would be asking these questions. What sort of actual protection are we getting from COVID shots? And is it making people more susceptible to testing positive for COVID?
You know, one of the great mistakes of the entire COVID pandemic era was that they effectively, the science trademark, right? The science through Fauciism and the politicization of the Democrat Party, deciding that they embody this notion of the science, they made it impossible to, they would call conspiracy theory, but they made it impossible to hypothesize. And anybody who understands the actual history of science would say, well, hold on a second. The only way we find answers and progress to things we don't know is when people can say, here's a possibility.
Yes.
Prove this wrong or prove this right. Here's a possibility. What do we think? Here's a possibility officially through government mandate under the Biden administration, through social media censorship, through efforts to cancel, deplatform. Some are even talking about throwing people in jail for COVID disinformation about
this.
Even if you were putting forward a hypothesis, I am concerned that this data could mean the following. What do you think? That was shut down. So they didn't just go against the science in terms of putting forward an acceptable, you know, the only acceptable narrative. If you put forward not a counter narrative, but a question that raised the possibility of a different approach, that became disinformation in the realm of health, which therefore was an imminent threat to safety and to the lives of people, yada, yada, yada. Shut it down, shut it down. And here we are. What is the explanation? How is it that Fauci is not being asked? New York is probably the most heavily vaccinated major state in the country.
And draconian activities. You couldn't go to McDonald's unless you had a vaccine card, right? You couldn't do hardly anything in New York. That's the number one question that every media member should be asking Dr. Fauci. Explain these numbers that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, because if the answer is it's because the virus mutates rapidly and we have to get more people boosters, well, then that becomes what some of us have been warning about for a year now, which is, so now it's chase the virus with boosters ad infinitum, goes on forever. There is no end to this. This is keep getting boosted, keep getting boosted, keep getting boosted. I was always concerned when I got that little vaccine passport. A lot of slots on there, Clay.
Yep.
A lot. It wasn't a one and done. It wasn't like you got this thing stamped and you were finished. There were all these other slots on it. You say, hold on a second. What am I going to fill in these other slots? Well, we all know now, right? So I do hope that people recognize that the only way to show your displeasure and that's a gentle word for it. Yeah, I mean, I would say your fury. I mean, I'm still furious at people over this. The people who push this,
yep,
is to just destroy them in the ballot. Just, you have to take away their power because they won't admit that they're wrong about this COVID stuff. They will not admit it.
I would just ask you this as we go into the break to think about. Imagine Donald Trump is president. Everything else is the exact same with COVID and with the COVID shots. How would the Washington Post, the New York Times, MSNBC, and CNN be covering COVID cases continuing to rise even after all of these COVID shots? Would they be asking questions about the efficacy of the vaccine if Trump were still in office? 100% they would, because they would be blaming him for everything. Yet Biden's in office, and you're seeing almost no one ask these questions. Why are these numbers? Remember, the pandemic of the unvaccinated is a lie. That's not true anymore. That was what the narrative was that the Biden administration tried to spin. Remember the winter of death, where if you didn't get your COVID shot, you were going to die? Well, congrats. Yeah. If you're listening to us right now, you survived. What's their story now? What's their narrative?
At every stage, their efforts at censorship and coercion have been proven wrong, and they follow it up with more censorship and coercion. That is the Democrat mentality in the era of COVID. And I think, unfortunately, it's going to continue unless we stop it. Look, folks, cars are more expensive than ever, and so are the repair bills that come with them. When you're out of the warranty period, they can be in the hundreds, perhaps even the thousands of dollars. You got a couple of grand just waiting around that you don't need to do anything with? Well, trust me, you don't want to find out the hard way. That's why you have to get a car protection plan with CarShield. CarShield is America's number one auto protection program used by more folks than ever before. When something goes wrong, you can count on them to help save you from expensive repairs. CarShield offers protection plans for around $100 a month. There's a plan for every car, no matter the mileage or the age. When you need a repair, you don't have to deal with the paperwork or headaches. You choose the mechanic to do the work, and CarShield administrators handle the rest. CarShield also gives you roadside assistance for towing, flat tires, and more. Get coverage today. Lock in your price. It'll never go up. That means as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. When CarShield breaks, when your car breaks down, you can count on CarShield for help. Go to carshield.com/buck or call 800-321-3670 to save 10% on your plan. That's carshield.com/BUCK. Or call this number right now to save 10%, 800-321-3670, 800-321-3670.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The number one fantasy sports app in America right now is Prize Picks. No surprise. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. I'm loving the app. Unlike other apps on the Prize Picks app, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports that you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, and that's more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. It's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. Now, Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app today and open your account. You can use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code Clay to get set up and get that deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. These are our first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country, or those who die in the line of duty or are severely injured, and our veterans who fought for our nation's freedoms only to return home, fall on tough times, and become homeless.
Heroes like Buffalo firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero.
Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young kids, severely injured service members, and homeless veterans.
Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Clay and Buck Show going strong. I mean, my voice not really going so strong.
Your voice is not going strong.
I do appreciate all the nice folks who write in saying that I'm a trooper and I'm staying in it to win it, even
winter
though.
Winter cold, summer cold. We're not quite to summer yet, but when it's warm outside and you have a cold, it's way worse.
You just pity yourself so much. Yeah, because when it's freezing outside, you're like, I don't even want to be outside. I'll just stay in and drink my chicken noodle soup. I feel like the kid who's stuck inside while all the rest of the kids are out on the playground. You know, it's not fun. But speaking of not fun, this is not a great transition. A recession is not fun. That's not good. And they're talking about it more and more, and I think it's coming. Here's Fed Chair Jerome Powell on what's up next.
A lot of people, though, are skeptical that you can get inflation down to your 2% goal without a recession. What do you know that they don't?
I don't know anything that they don't. I mean, I would say it's there's no disagreement here, really. It is going to be a challenging task, and it's been made more challenging in the last couple of months.
Yeah, a challenging task. That is Fed bureaucrat speak for probably going to have to hit a recession here, and we'll find out soon. I mean, what I will find out in just a matter of weeks if we're technically in a recession. I guess it'd have to be the end of the second quarter. Then they'd have to do that. Maybe, what, with July, I guess we find out. It's not that far off. And Clay, that's a tough one to sell. Gas over $4 a gallon in every state now, a recession, a wide open border, high crime, war in Europe. It's not good.
Baby formula not on the shelves. I mean, you can't even come up with, if you were doing a Mad Libs version of how awful things were going to be in Joe Biden's America, would you have ever believed there wouldn't be baby formula on the shelves? You couldn't even come up with something that ridiculous.
It's amazing.
Let me tell you about something that's the opposite of ridiculous. It's actually fantastic. It's our friends at Legacy Box. They can preserve your memories forever. Simplest and safest way to digitize your aging videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures. You want them forever? Well, they can be trusted as they have taken care of over a million families, converted their meaningful recorded moments onto digital files. And this will ensure, because many of those things, VCR, even home film projector, those opportunities to even view these cherished family memories are vanishing in a hurry. That's why you want to take advantage of Legacy Box's team of 200 trained technicians. They can process 19 different media types from VHS to Super 8 film by hand at their facilities in Tennessee. And they will ensure that they take care of you. And you can track it by going to legacybox.com/clay. 40% off your first order. Buy today. Send in all of your old family memories. 40% off. They'll preserve them forever at legacybox.com/clay. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Wednesday edition of the program. We're joined now by Elbridge Colby, co-founder and principal of the Marathon Initiative, formerly U.S. Assistant Deputy Secretary of Defense for Strategy and Force Deployment. He has a book out. It is called The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. And I believe, Bridge, that you are also in Hawaii right now. So I think it's like 7:30 or so in the morning out there. Hopefully you're having your coffee. Hopefully it's Black Rifle Coffee, and you are hanging out with us as you start your morning out there. So appreciate you doing that, especially on vacation out in Hawaii. What's the latest so far as you can update us on the situation on the ground in Ukraine? Where are we headed?
Great. Well, great to be with you, Clay and Buck. And actually, I'm here in Hawaii on work, so don't be too jealous. But it's always a pleasure to be with you guys. I mean, the situation in Ukraine, I think it's clearly the Russians have failed in their kind of main advance towards Kiev. And now it looks like they've been pushed out of some of the areas in the northeast as well. They're concentrating in the southeast and in the south. Seems like it's hard to tell. Seems like they have made some gains. They now seem to have consolidated control over the city of Mariupol. But it does seem they're having limited success. I think the biggest issue right now that I've been concerned about is, you know, it's fantastic that the Ukrainians are being successful, but, you know, there's increasing warnings, including from our own intelligence community, that we may be running up into the possibility of Russian escalation. And that is something that we need to take seriously. Obviously, it doesn't mean just kowtowing to him. But it is, you know, the guy's got 5,000 nuclear weapons and we have very little we can do to stop him. So we have to take that seriously.
Bridge, what do you think about the joining of Finland and Sweden to NATO? And, you know, this seems to be in process right now on the point about possible escalation from Russia. Put aside all the usual caveats. Putin's a very bad guy. What he's doing is wrong and horrible and all that. Of course. Yes, true. He, at least for a big part of his belief in why this invasion was something that benefited his national security interests in Russia, had to do with the expansion of NATO, right? That was the big point of friction stretching back for a long time. So is this the right move for Sweden and Finland? Does this risk escalation? What do you think?
Well, look, first of all, I think very highly of Finland and Sweden. It's not about them, but I'm thinking about this from the American people's interest. And I think this requires very careful, deliberate review and a spirit of kind of cost benefit. NATO is not a charity. It's not a political organization. It's a military alliance. And at the end of the day, it's more or less, you know, primarily underwritten by Americans. And that's, yeah, the people in the Beltway, but ultimately the people in the military and their families are, you know, our country as a whole. So it should make sense from a security perspective, from our, you know, self-interest, you know, broadly conceived, but it should make sense. And I don't see a lot of that happening yet. I do think it's going to be very important for our Congress to look at it in that spirit. I mean, I would just say, as a bottom line, adding Sweden and Finland to NATO should increase rather than decrease our security, and it should enable us to focus on what now the Biden administration, following the Trump administration, has said is our priority, which is China and Asia. I'm out here. I'm at a conference out here, and it's a very serious situation. I think those questions can be answered. There are a couple of opportunities. There's a big NATO summit coming up. The Europeans can spend more on defense. The Swedes and Finns can spend more on defense. Europeans can volunteer to take up a much bigger role and responsibility. But I don't think they should just be waved in. I think we should actually ask tough questions and make sure this makes sense. Because, look, Finland, this is a great country. It's got an 800-mile border with Russia. And, you know, that the points that you guys mentioned where, yes, the Russians may feel more threatened or not, but also it's going to give them more opportunity. You know, if NATO is a kind of quote unquote indivisible alliance and you add 800 miles of territory, that's a lot more territory to defend. That's a serious problem. And I think the American people deserve serious answers to those questions. And I haven't really seen people talking in this way, which is disturbing.
Bridge, what do we think about Vladimir Putin's health? There's been a lot of rumors that potentially he has got a very severe form of cancer. One of the big questions has been, why now? Maybe he's behaving irrationally. Maybe he doesn't feel like he has that much more time to live, and that could have been an impetus for why he wanted to try to expand Russia's borders as a legacy move. What do you attribute, based on what you're reading, hearing, and seeing, about Vladimir Putin's health, and how is that playing into the overall geopolitical landscape so far as you can tell?
I mean, it's hard to tell. He was apparently, you know, he was wearing a blanket in early May at the VE Day, Victory in Europe Day parade. So, I mean, I think, and there's been rumors about doctor's visits and so forth. So it's possible. And look, I mean, yes, countries behave, you know, as big actors, you know, blocks on the board or whatever. But at the end of the day, especially in a centralized system like Russia, Vladimir Putin's personal, you know, view and perspective of his life and legacy make a big difference. I mean, I think he's been pretty clear on the Ukraine issue over the last few years that he did want to. He was fundamentally upset about it, not fairly or necessarily justly, of course, but that's the, you know, the perspective that he's looking at. I mean, what I will say about this, I don't think we can reckon on it, and we don't know, even if he does, you know, die, it's not clear that his successor would be better or not, you know.
Do we even know, by the way, sorry to cut you off, but do we know who Vladimir Putin's successor would be likely to be if he died?
I don't think so. There's rumors about the head of the intelligence. I think the SVR guy, the foreign intelligence, is one. It possibly might be the internal guy. But I think a lot of that speculation, frankly, even the designated successor, I mean, if we look back to the Soviet period, there were guys who were sort of in the lead, but they don't necessarily survive the internecine knife fight,
right,
literally or figuratively, that can happen. That's what I would say. I think our hope, like this regime change talk from the president and others, is deeply irresponsible, and it's kind of crazy, frankly, because, I mean, in a sense, Vladimir Putin himself proves that regime change doesn't solve your problems, because this, we did regime change the Soviet Union, or they self-regime changed, and we end up with Vladimir Putin. So Russia is likely to act in a certain way, but it can act more or less responsible. If we look historically, Khrushchev pushed Kennedy over Berlin and then the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he failed. A couple years later, he was basically overthrown. You end up with Brezhnev, which is not that much better, but that did lead to detente and stuff. So I think that's what we could hope for over time, is that somebody comes in and says, this isn't really working. You know, I'm going to stay strong Russian nationalist, but I'm going to play it more quietly. And that could give us an opening over time.
Speaking of Bridge Colby, co-founder and principal of the Marathon Initiative, his book, The Strategy of Denial, American Defense in an Age of Great Power Conflict. Bridge, where does this conflict in Ukraine go from here?
I mean, look, I find it kind of surprising that this is controversial, but I think we want this conflict to end, in the sense that, I mean, there's a humanitarian basis for that, but also that, I mean, Russia's got 5,000 nuclear weapons. It's an enormous country. It has leverage. They have to agree to stop fighting. And I think the Ukrainians are being very successful, and that's great, and we should help them be as successful as they can within reason. But, you know, these people who are saying that we need kind of like total victory or something against Russia, as if like we're going to march to Moscow or something implicitly, I don't think this is how it goes. So I think it's really going to be, you know, to the extent that we can encourage or open the possibility of an end to the conflict on reasonably advantageous terms for Ukraine, that's good for us, that's good for the Ukrainians. I think it's probably good for the Russians. That's not our primary interest, but that's where I think we want to end up. And that, you know, that's probably going to mean some degree of, you know, armed neutrality for Ukraine, not NATO membership, but, you know, something where they can defend themselves and the Russians understand they can't just eat them up. But it's not going to be this kind of total victory that some people are talking about.
Bridge Colby, everybody. Bridge, appreciate you being with us.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Friends, you got to trust me on this one. Wolf and Shepherd is an amazing dress shoe worn by men who want a dressy look to go with suits, but the comfort of a great athletic shoe. I know that sounds like, how is that even possible? It is. When you've got that, every obstacle in your day becomes more manageable. You're more comfortable. I personally own 3 pairs of Wolf and Shepherd shoes, stretching back for years now. My 2 brothers also love them. Wolf and Shepherd has a simple mission: equip professionals with footwear they'll feel comfortable in all day. The founder is a former track athlete and designer who brought athletic shoe innovation to dress shoes. Just look at one of their styles, the crossover. You'll see what I mean. Wolf and Shepherd's crossover is a business meets athletic shoe that features full grain Italian leather and an athletic, agile sole. The cross-functional design provides all-day comfort and style, making the crossover game for anything. Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, right, Clay? That's how he's called, the Gronk. Wears this brand of shoes. He's got his own favorite style, loves the long wing and swift knit. Once Wolf and Shepherd shoes are part of your routine, I'm confident you'll feel like you can take on anything. Better footwear for the workday. So join the pack now at wolfandshepherd.com. Visit wolfandshepherd.com. Pick out your pair. Trust me on this one. You're going to be like me. You're going to love it so much, you're going to want more pairs. These are the only dress shoes I wear, Wolf and Shepherd. Wolfandshepherd.com. It's spelled SHEPHERD, wolfandshepherd.com.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to the Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull.
He sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, and he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave Major Turnbull a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope.
With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's severely injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders.
Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Look, I'm a two-way guy. Second Amendment, all about it. I appreciate the sport of shooting. I appreciate marksmanship. I appreciate the right to bear arms and to defend oneself. I also respect the craftsmanship of a well-made firearm at a phenomenal price. My first career out of college put me in parts of the world where, you know what, I had to have a firearm to protect myself. Years later, I keep myself trained and in shape with my firearms. Going to the gun range with my brothers on the weekend, that's a regular event for us. It's a great time to come together, and it helps keep our skills sharp. So if you're a firearms enthusiast like me, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition does. How does Bear Creek Arsenal do it? There's no middleman fees, that's how. I own one of their AR-15s. It is an incredible firearm. They know what they're doing. Discover Bear Creek Arsenal. Go online to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/BUCK. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. You're going to be amazed at the incredible quality of their firearms and the unbeatable price. bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. Use the name Buck to get that 10% off your first order. If babies in their mother's womb could speak, what would they say? In the absence of words, they share the sounds of their heart beating, telling you they're alive and growing. An unborn baby's heart is already beating at just 3 weeks. By 5 weeks, you can hear that heartbeat on ultrasound, and that's where Preborn's network of clinics step in. Preborn is the country's largest provider of free ultrasounds, and every day, they rescue 200 babies' lives by connecting expectant mothers and children. Those are pregnant mothers deciding on life or abortion. Most often, they choose life. For just $28, you can provide one free ultrasound to help save a child's life. $140 will help rescue 5 babies' lives. Donate via cell phone. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Visit preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK. Preborn has a 100% charity rating. Sponsored by Preborn.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Next hour, we'll talk about the border insecurity situation, Title 42's end looming. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin will be with us. We'll speak with him. And I wanted to get some of your calls. But first, I just think this is kind of funny. Here is Anthony Fauci. I can't, as much as my voice is a little bit more raspy now, I don't think I could do the Fauci impression today, Clay, unfortunately. It might sound a little too much. Here is Fauci telling everybody that he doesn't actually like mandating things.
I don't like mandating things. I don't like punishing people for not doing something.
But I'm just going to say, I don't believe him.
Yeah,
I think he
I'm going to call him a liar
there. I think he enjoys the power to mandate things because here's how we know. He never says it's too much. He never says we've gone too far. He never says take off that second mask. It's crazy. Live your life. It's always you want to be as careful as you can be, even if it doesn't do anything, even if it's oppressive, stupid, and damaging, in fact. You know, we don't talk as much now about the learning loss situation, but we absolutely should.
1.2 million front page today, Buck. Public school kids have disappeared since the COVID shutdowns. 1.2 million nationwide.
Now, what in the breakdown, where are they saying those 1.2 million have gone?
They really don't know for sure. So what they think, some of them went to private schools. They think some of them went to homeschooling. They think some were just lost, right? They just decided to drop out because they weren't being pursued as a part of the remote learning aspects. And they think that's kind of a mix of all three of those categories. But you talk about the loss potentially future income for kids who don't graduate from high school and just kind of got lost in the shuffle. This is going to be a calamitous asteroid strikes the public school system event. There's around 50 million in school and they lost 1.2 million. They just don't know.
I mean, there is a remarkable increase, and I mean, I think it's a very good thing, very positive development. Of if you look at homeschooling over the last 20
skyrocketing.
Yep. I mean, I know you got three kids, Clay, but you've got a very good school system where you are. I think when I have kids, depending on where I live, but I think I would very seriously consider homeschooling. If I were in a circumstance where that was possible with my wife, I think I would give that a shot.
Yeah, and I think there's some also sort of pod schooling that ended up being popular. And so homeschooling in small groups, you know.
Well, that's when I say homeschooling, what I understand now, what I know from people on the right who do homeschool their kids, is it's, there's a lot of community, there's other parents, there's the pods, there's material online, there's videos. It's not like you sit there just teaching your kid the ABCs for 8 hours a day.
I'll tell you what, it was tough. A lot of people had to do that in March when schools shut down, and that was not easy.
Yeah, I can imagine. I want to take some of your calls. I know we put out that number, and I want to hear from all of you. Adrian in New Jersey has some thoughts for us. Hey, Adrian.
Hi. First of all, I really enjoy your show. Thanks for being a platform for getting the truth out there.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it. Thank you. I'm calling regarding the whole pandemic and the COVID vaccine mandates. I don't understand, since we've all seen and as we've all discussed, how if the vaccinated are spreading and are getting and spreading the virus, why there are companies still allowed to use the vaccine as a condition for employment. I've been encountering this over and over again where the company, like a recruiter, will contact me and they'll ask me, oh, first we have to ask you these questions, and the COVID vaccine is part of it. Do you plan to get it? Are you willing to comply? And to be honest, I'm not, and I don't ever plan to be. That's my personal choice. And of course, I never get a call back. I don't even get an interview. To me, it's discriminatory, and I don't know how. I mean, I wish this could be fought legally. It goes back to, having your personal choice. If someone wants to get the vaccine, I respect their decision, but I just ask that the company and people could respect me for my choice.
I agree 100% with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. And look, this is something that we're dealing with in my family. I was just telling Buck off air, my 14-year-old, my oldest son, wants to go to a camp this summer. And the camp requires that you get the COVID shot in order to return to go. By the way, Buck, so far, and I know they don't require you to have measles, mumps, rubella. They're not requiring any of those vaccine proofs. But in order to go to camp, they're saying that you need to have proof of a COVID shot. And I've said before, certainly my young kids are not getting the COVID shot. But I worry for my 14-year-old, who's going to be a freshman in high school next year. Certainly, I think colleges are going to require this, right? So why in the world does he or any of the other kids out there need to do this shot when this is not, our kids are under far more danger driving to a camp for the summer than they are to spread COVID or have any issues with it.
I think at some level, the people that pushed all of this, the only way that they think we can move forward is if they keep pushing. Because otherwise we would stop and turn around and say, what the hell have you done to all of us? Like, what did you think that you've really accomplished here? So they're only, in their minds, their only option is to try to see this through and just keep going and going and going. Don't look at the data. Don't look at the reality. I actually want to take Ed in Woodbury, Minnesota, because he's got some thoughts for us. Ed, thanks so much.
Hey, Clay Buck. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are awesome out there.
Thank you. You have fantastic taste in radio.
I just want to say, baby formula shortage. I don't want to be conspiracy theorist, but I was in Sam's Club here this morning, and I always talk to people, and this gentleman was rearranging the bread. And I go, don't you deliver bread? He goes, oh, yeah. I go, where's the rack? He goes, we didn't have any bread to deliver today.
So, you know, this is interesting, Ed, because people that I know who look closely at these trends and the markets and what's available, wheat is a huge export of Ukraine and fertilizer is a huge export of Russia. Those supply chains clearly have been dramatically disrupted. And countries like Brazil and India, they're saying they're going to step up and try to make up for the shortfall. but we could actually see grain, therefore, or wheat, therefore, bread shortages and all the foodstuffs that come along with that globally, Clay. This is not actually an impossibility. This is a very serious possibility.
Imagine if you had said when Joe Biden was running for president, if Trump had said, if Joe Biden ends up president, we're going to have baby formula shortages in this country.
And maybe bread shortages. And maybe bread shortages too.
The entire media would have lost its mind and called that the biggest lie ever. Yet here we are. We can't even feed babies in this country because Joe Biden is doing the worst job of any president in 100 years or more. Senator Ron Johnson's going to join us here in the third hour. Appreciate you hanging out with us, fighting insanity on a daily basis on Clay and Buck.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.